in the twinkling of an eye, everything that's going to go on in your life happens. It's in that certain moment of time to when brokenness comes. It's in a twinkling of an eye when tragedy hits. You're not expecting it. You were expecting something else horrible to happen, and then this thing happened. And it happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Our whole life is lived in that moment. And I encourage each and every one of us to live in that moment, expecting life to happen. You have no control of life. Well, you know you don't have control of somebody else's life when you can't even control your own, right? So you and I have to depend on the one who knows our life. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about your Savior, Jesus. See, He knows you for who you really are, and He loves you just like you are. Well, you don't even have to comb your hair. You don't even have to change a thing. God comes into your life and He said, I love you. I love you just like you are. Now, when you say yes to Jesus in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, God begins to work in your life. Not just on you, but on all your surroundings. Everything that's going to go on with you in life, God already knows. He knows the path. He knows the heartbreak. He knows the joy. He knows the excitement. And He says, I want you to trust me. Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet called by God to watch over Israel. Jeremiah, the prophet, was paying attention to what the people of God were doing, how they were acting. Jeremiah was sent to deliver God's message for repentance of the people. 28 years, Jeremiah's preaching up a storm. Not one convert. Not one changed. And yet God, in His wisdom, continued to give Jeremiah the message. You warn them. You tell them. So Jeremiah, known, related to Randy, as a weeping prophet. He cried continually. His heart was broken. He had the promise of God. He had the wisdom of God, wanting to share it, wanting to see His people happy again from deep within. And they would not accept His message. The scripture says they went off a whoring into the world. A whoring into the world. And Jeremiah, what was he told to do by God? You keep preaching. You see, here's something that you need to understand about those of us who are called to preach God's word. I'm called by God to preach and to teach His truth. I'm called by God to pray for each and every individual that they might receive that message. But I'm not called by God to make a change in your life. The Holy Spirit comes down into your heart. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you, what did I mean by convicts you? He convicts you of sin, meaning you realize at that moment of time that you are a sinner. And the only hope you have is through the grace of the God who loves you. And God says, I sent my only begotten Son so you can find that peace, Jeremiah is preaching God's message to the people. Lamentations 2, verse 11. Now, Jeremiah is the author or the writer. God's always the author, the penman of the Lamentations you will find. It's Old Testament for those of you starting out. Lamentations 2, verse 11. This is his cry from within. I have cried until the tears no longer come. You been there? Are you there? My heart is broken. My spirit poured out. Or you can't even lift your arms. And the Lord says, you don't have to. Larry, Randy, and Namesis, lift your heart. Let me know. Tell me you can't handle it. I'll get involved. You want the hero for your life? His name is Jesus. You want the one who knows your life? His name is Jesus. You want the one who follows you through life? His name is Jesus. Have I told you who he is? And he loves you. And he cares about you. Jeremiah is pouring his heart out. My spirit is poured out. He said, all I've got. And not one person has changed. And God commands him, you keep preaching. Jeremiah, it's not your job to change. It's your job, your ministry, to preach my message. I give people the opportunity within to change. If a person under conviction by the Holy Spirit refuses to accept Christ, that's not on the pastor or on the prophet Jeremiah. What's on us, preach the word. So listen to him. My spirit poured out as I see what has happened to my people. I love the United States of America. I love my country. I fought for my country. Combat Marine, Vietnam, Dominican Republic. I love my country. I love the freedom that we offer to all who will come. Yet my heart pours out to see what is going on in my country. Our country is turned against God. Although, I told you, pour your heart out to the Lord and God says, I'll intervene. Isn't it great to see the young people going into revival, college after college and in communities, shouting for the Lord, excited about a Savior? That's Holy Spirit power. Now, the evil that is out there that devours so many, that evil does not have a chance when the Spirit of Christ is present. What are they doing? They're praying, worshiping, praising, and the Spirit is being poured out. Now, I don't care what the government says. I don't care what all the anti-Christians say. When the Holy Spirit of God pours out upon a land, one of two things is going to happen. There will be a revival, or there will be a breakdown. You and I are in the middle of a history being made. You'll see the brokenness of a country or the resurgence of life breathe back in a nation that had turned their back on God. You respect the spirit that is in you. You respect life. You respect one another. For you, your friend, your family, you were made in the image of God by God. So therefore, we respect one another. Our young folk are being let out into a world that is going to do everything they can to destroy them or suck them in. Prayer changes things. Live in the moment, finding the strength to go on. Find the strength to go on. How many situations you've been in this year, this week, that it's all you can do just to look for strength to put one foot in front of the other. All you can do. And God says, I want you to look to me. I am the strength for you. First of all, focus your attention on God. We look at all of our enemies. We look at the bad things going on in our life. We look at the hurt. We look at the pain. We listen to them cry out, you can't live through that. Larry, there's no way that you can live through this cancers. One on the aorta, one on the vena cava. You out of here, boy. They didn't exactly put it that way. But you get the point? That's not up to any of them. That's up to the God who called you just as much as he called me. We all have the calling from God to share the word with our fellow man, with someone who may never step foot in the church. I want you to let them know this. God loves you just like you are. He just don't want you to stay that way. And it's not someone else telling you what you need to do. It's the Holy Spirit leading you from within to do what the Lord says for you to do, to find the peace you've been talking to him about. Tell him about it. Focus your attention on God. Now, I'm using the message version on this scripture, Lamentations 3, 28, 29. I'm using it simply because of the way it was put. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Do you get in situations in your life you don't know the question to ask anyway? I don't know what to ask. Lord, look at me. I'm a mess. Yes, Larry. God hears that prayer from me all the time. Yes, Larry. But you're my mess. You see how personal our Savior is. Don't ask questions. Here it is. Wait for hope to appear. Wait for hope to appear. See, what has happened is we see failure. We see ourselves failing. We see hurt. We see pain. We see all of the bad. The Lord said, be silent. Look to me and wait, because hope will appear for your life and for the life of your loved ones. Hope. Without hope, the prisoner of war would lose their mind. Without hope, the prisoner of Satan in this world can't stand. Yet with hope of a better day, with hope of healing, with hope of peace of mind, for with that hope comes victory. Victory is in Jesus. Amen. Brother Randy, write a song about it. There's victory in Jesus. And Jesus said, focus your attention on the Father, and then he will send the action in your life. Next, ask God to remove your fears. Fear penetrates to the very being of who you are. I've been there, so afraid that I can't move. My body could care less what my brain's telling it to do, because it is frozen and I can't move. And God sends a lieutenant, get that idiot off that porch. And he did. You see what I mean? fear will destroy you. Fear. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of failure. Well, I didn't do it because I was afraid I couldn't and I'd fail. Folks, I could write volumes over on my failures. Anybody in here could. The ideal is not how many times you failed. I'll tell you this. I guarantee you, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't your God, your Savior, that made you fail, unless you were going to do something that was going to do harm to you. But failure of life is a choice. I choose to go there. Larry, you can't do that. You're going to fail in the process. Then I choose to fail. But when God tells me to go, I'm going. When God leads me to say it, I'm going to say it. And when God tells me to shut up, I'm going to shut up and pray to God that Brother Randy or somebody keeps my mouth shut before I mess up. But God says, here's what you do as a human being. Ask me to remove your fear. The fear of failing. Psalm 34, verse 4. Another warrior for God. King David. David was a mess. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. He was diseased in his older age as he came forward. We know he died at the age of 70. But David was a man after God's own heart. And David wanted to do what God called him to do. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 4. David says, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me, freeing me from all my fears. It is fears that keep you from taking the step. It's not the lack of power. God will give you the power. Even though you're so terrified you can't move, God said, go anyway. Go anyway. And you slide that foot and it gets lighter. And the Lord walks it the rest of the way. The fear of failure. The fear of danger. But what about the danger your fellow man is in? What about the fear that they have? The friends, the families, and all that fight all the different diseases that you can imagine. The fear that is there. They need a warrior. One who's walked through the fear to sit with them, to hold their hand, to cry with them, to laugh with them, to be silly with them, to enjoy life with them. They need a friend. Jesus says, there's no better friend than me for your life. Jesus saved me. Listen to me. He saved me knowing all the mess ups I was going to have throughout the rest of my life. He died for me anyway. And he saved me knowing that I was going to go off the deep end later and all of this. Yet he loves me and he saved me. I'm working on you, Larry. He's still working on Larry. And we'll continue to work on Larry. The spirit of man that has been given to Christ is a spirit that doesn't need to fear, because you're already victorious. So though your body is saying you can't go, listen to that voice inside you. If he says take a step forward, and if the leg doesn't work, cry out to God. He'll send whatever is needed to make you move forward in life. But it's the fear that is so devastating. Next, believe God will restore you. See, this is the message that Jeremiah is giving to the people. Same message that we preachers give today. The same message. Want you to understand that God will restore you. Lamentations again. Back to Jeremiah 3, 25, 26. The Lord is good. Said that a while ago, didn't we? All the time. To everyone who trusts in him. So it is best for us, this will get you, to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us. Now, Lord, I've talked to you about this almost my whole life. I don't see anything going on. Well, Larry, you couldn't handle it then, and you can't handle it now when it starts going on, when the time is right. I'll make the difference. I'll touch the life. I have such a desire in me to touch the broken, to touch those who are not accepted other places, to preach a message that will help to get people over the fear of other people. What do you care what people think about you? Are they taking care of you? Are they out raking up your yard for you right now? Now, listen to me. God says, you trust me. And you know who he sends our way? Individuals who are dealing with life and realize on their own that they can't handle life. And together, we lift one another up in prayer. We ask God to touch us where we are. We pray for his guidance and the next step, his strength, the promise of today, the hope for tomorrow. And do you know the Lord always shows up right on time, never late? Remember what never changes. Here's the ones I want you to remember. You got them in your bulletin. You take your bulletin with you. Remember what never changes. Are you ready? God is still in control. God is still in control. Lamentation 5, 17 and verse 19. We are sick at our very hearts. You've been there? Your heart's so broken, you're just sick of heart. And can hardly see through our tears. But you, O Lord, are king forever and will rule to the end of time. I know who I serve. I know where the power is. I know where the ultimate love is. The love story of my life and your life is a Savior who's watched you before you were born, made a path for you before your time came to enter this world. God had laid out for you the path of life. Now, what we do is get off the path way too many times. God is still in control. Next one, remember this, never changes. God still loves you. Now you think because you've had a bad case of the stupids that God doesn't love you anymore. But he does. God loves you. He loved you knowing you was going to have a case of the stupids. And he loves you anyway, right through it. So what do we do? God still loves you. Lamentation 3, 21, 23. But there's one other thing I remember. And remembering it, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness. Another song, Randy, write it. Think of it. God's faithfulness to you. God's strength for your life, God's hope for tomorrow, God's victory for today. And lastly, remember this one. God is all I need. Lamentations 3:24. Deep in my heart I say, the Lord is all I need. I can depend on Him. I can depend on Him. That's a God who created you just like you are. That's a God who watched His Son go to that cross for you, for me, just like we are. And when you say yes to Jesus, your life will change. When you say yes to Jesus, that path you're on is a victorious path. You're going to win either way it goes. I knew during the 5 cancers that I was a winner. And I smiled and I aggravated some friends of mine because I knew that the victory in Jesus doesn't necessarily have to do with whether I live in this body or not. It has to do with I'm living forever with you who believe. So you might as well love me now, because you're going to have to love me forever. You see, that's the message of hope that Jesus sends us. He sends us the hope in a beautiful face, in a beautiful heart, beautiful singing voice. He sends us hope, touches us with each other. The power of the love of your fellow man, caring concern. When your friend is crying, cry with them. When they're laughing, laugh with them. When they're in the ditch of life, don't you dare hesitate. You get right down there in that filth and you reach a hand out, you lift them up, and you fight all hell to get them out of there. That's what friends do. We stand strong one for another. And by the way, your pastor loves you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, dear Lord God, for allowing us to come together, for allowing us to sing praises to you, Lord, for allowing us to remember in our heart the great sacrifice that was made for us. And the peace that we have, Father, it's not a peace that costs nothing, but it's a peace that cost our Savior everything humanly possible. He gave for our salvation. Thank you, Father, for your victory. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to have victory in Jesus. We ask your blessing now throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. During our time of invitation, an invitation is always personal. It's personal to you. You look to your heart. You see the need that's within you. Share that need with your Creator, asking Him to send the right personality, asking Him to direct your next step. Lord, the world says that I have no hope, but I know the story of the cross. I know the story of the tomb. I know the story of a Savior who came down from the cross, dead, went into the tomb, dead, and came out alive and showed Himself to more than 500 eyewitnesses, the scriptures say. because he loves you and me just like we are. You make that commitment directly to Christ. You have my cell number. Call me day or night. Always talk. I'll always share. I'll always help any way that I can. Let's stand together.